Let us now turn to the part of God's Word read in the prophecy of Jeremiah and chapter 31. In Jeremiah chapter 31, and we will read now from verse 22. Jeremiah 31, verse 22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. In this chapter we have much about the covenant of grace. And this covenant is mentioned in verse 31, where the Lord says that He will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And this verse is quoted in the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews we understand very clearly that the covenant of grace is full of Christ. He is the sum and substance of this eternal covenant that was contrived between the Father and the Son in a past eternity. And therefore, since we have here language about the covenant of grace, we can be sure that in this chapter there is also Christ the Redeemer in it. If the covenant is here, then Christ is here. He is the sum and substance of the covenant, as we understand from Isaiah chapter 49, where God says, I have given thee for a covenant of the people. Well then, when we come to this verse, then we are to look for Christ in the text. The Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man. And now, to understand this correctly, we have to consider the context around this verse. And when we look at the context, we see that it prophesies the restoration of Israel from the land of their captivity in Babylon. We read about that in verse 8, where God promises, I will bring them from the north country, that's where Babylon was, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, because there were Israelites in other places besides Babylon as well. And so here we have a prediction of a glorious restoration of Israel, who had backslided from her God. And the reason or the cause for this restoration can be no other than the everlasting love of God. If it were not for His love, they would have never returned to Him. Oh, they are drawn by His everlasting love, as He says in verse 3. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And this love that brought them out of the kingdom of darkness, this free, sovereign love that loved them not for anything in them, not for any excellency in them, but because the Lord purposed sovereignly to love them in a past eternity. It was this love that brought them from the kingdom of darkness, and it is this love that recovers them from backsliding. And this love is going to draw them away from the love of every sin, every inordinate or excessive affection that they have for anything in this life, whether it be a house or a car or a piece of property, for an academic honor, or for the praise of men. He will draw them away from all that and fix their hearts completely upon Himself at last. His love is stronger than their love, for the creature, for the created things in the earth. And we see here a motive given for them to return from their backsliding. It is a motive to come back from Babylon to see a new thing in the earth, a woman compassing a man. And now in considering these verses, or rather this text, in verse 22, we wish to consider three things. The first being the backsliding of the daughter, and what is meant by that phrase, the backsliding of the daughter. And secondly, the new thing in the earth, which is a woman compassing a man. And then thirdly, a few things about the man himself. A man who is a warrior or a mighty man, as the word is in the original. These three things then, the backsliding of the daughter, the new thing in the earth, and the man himself. Well, in the first place then, let us think upon the backsliding of the daughter. By the word daughter, we are to understand the offspring of the church. Those who have been brought within the pale of the visible church, these who have had the great privilege of circumcision, in which the Lord was promising to circumcise their hearts, to deliver them from the love of sin, which they have by nature as soon as they come into the world, for they are all conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. Therefore they are in need of a circumcised heart, a purified heart. And the Lord makes this promise to them in their circumcision. And as we know, this sacrament of the Old Testament has been replaced by baptism in the New. So that when the child is baptized, the Lord is making a promise to sprinkle clean water upon them and to cleanse them from all their filthiness and from all their idols. And that is the great, exceeding great and precious promise that God makes to every baptized person, whether it be a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. And he's promising in the ordinance of baptism, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Well, with such a privilege, we wonder how the children of Israel could backslide so often and so far. Here was a nation unlike any other nation in the earth. It had the word of God. To the Jews were committed the oracles of God. And therefore they had a great benefit, as the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans. Yet we find over and over and over throughout the Old Testament a generation of children, covenant children, growing up who do not know the Lord. We see it happening very early on in the book of Judges. In the Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, we read that after Joshua and his generation had died, there arose a generation, a whole generation, which knew not the Lord. And that's to teach us not to rest in our privileges, not to rest in our baptism, our knowledge of the Bible, our outwardly moral life. Oh, ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so we find that when there is not a new heart, And there can be nothing but backsliding, going away, even apostatizing, as the word it can be rendered. How long wilt thou go about, O apostate daughter? Now you might be saying, I am not near the sin of apostasy. But never forget that every sin is a willful departure from God, and every sin tends towards total apostasy. Every sin is saying, in effect, who is the Lord that I should serve Him? My will is above God's will. And therefore I am my own master. As one heathen man wrongly put it, saying, I am the captain of my fate, he said, the master of my soul. Oh, what awful language. But that is the language, the attitude of the heart in every sin. It's a going back from God. It's a renouncing of His authority. And therefore, because it's a rebellion against an infinite God, it deserves an infinite and eternal punishment. A punishment that lasts forever. But here we find the Lord pleading with them and saying, how long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? And now we often think that backsliding is something that is some open breach of one of the commandments. But while that is backsliding, when that happens, yet backsliding began much sooner than that. It began in the heart, as Solomon warns us in the Proverbs. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. That longing to be out of church, that longing for the Sabbath day to be gone, so that we can enjoy the pleasures of the week. Oh, that's a backsliding of heart, a turning away from God. And God calls to us, saying, how long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? But we see in these words, go about, how long wilt thou go about, a vacillation, a going back and forth, as the word is, a halting between two opinions. And that is what the backsliding daughter in Babylon was doing. God was calling her to return to Zion, to forsake her comforts and her riches and possessions in Babylon, and deny herself and take the long journey back to Israel to rebuild the temple. And she was vacillating or going back and forth between the demands of conscience on the one hand and the demands of a carnal heart on the other hand. Her conscience was telling her, yes, I belong to the Lord. I was dedicated to Him from my youth. I am His property. I must do all that He says. I must deny myself and take up the cross and follow Him. But oh, life is so comfortable here in Babylon. And it's a dangerous journey from Babylon back to the promised land. It involves much hardship. I know I will have to give up the comforts, the comfort of my house which I have built in Babylon. and perhaps give up many possessions and many pleasures in order to go back to Judah and rebuild the house of the Lord. But God in His mercy sees her vacillating, going back and forth, and He gives her this motive. The Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Or is it the word earth is sometimes rendered land. The Lord hath created a new thing in the land, that is, the land of Judah. There would be a new thing occurring there that the world had never seen before. And the Lord would create that new thing in Judah and not in Babylon. And therefore, they must make this costly trip back from Babylon, going from Babylon back to Jerusalem, so that they can behold this new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man. Secondly, then, let us consider this new thing in the earth. The Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. Now, when the children of Israel heard the Lord saying this, using this word creation, they would have pricked up their ears. The Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. And nothing has been created for thousands of years. Not since the Lord made the world in 6 days, and all very good. And it's a new thing that He's creating. Something that we've never seen before. Something new. And all we've been seeing is the world decaying and waxing old, vanishing away, as we were singing. Generations were rising up, aging, going into the grave, turning to dust. Thousands of years going by, year after year, they had seen nothing but decay and corruption. The world growing older, the earth wearing out, a man's beauty being wasted like a moth. Strong men becoming weak and fading away as a leaf. Their life being as but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Oh, what a depressing scene it met the human eye for century after century. But now the Lord says, I have created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Yes, it was something new. It would be a holy infant. That holy thing, as the angels told Mary, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And the holy child Jesus. Never before had the earth seen a holy infant. Adam and Eve were holy for a time, but they were adults. Ever before had the world seen a perfectly holy infant, one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. This is a new thing in the earth. And this holy humanity, it was a humanity that would never see corruption. Yes, it would die. It would have to go into the grave. But it would see no corruption in that grave. And this was a new thing in the earth. Up until now, every body committed to the grave very rapidly turned to dust. But here was a new thing in the earth. A body that would see no corruption. But how can this be? How can a holy infant come from a sinful woman? Job tells us, who can bring an unclean thing? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. But God says, I will create a new thing in the earth. A clean thing coming forth from an unclean thing. A woman who confessed her need of a Savior, who said, my soul hath rejoiced in God my Savior. From this woman who needed a Savior would come this new thing in the earth. One who had a holy humanity that would never see corruption. And how could this be? It would be in this way, by a woman compassing a man, and that is, by a woman encircling a man, a woman who would give birth to a holy child who would have no human father. Yes, the Lord Jesus was the greater Melchizedek, without father and without mother. And if you know the Shorter Catechism, you know the answer to that riddle. Christ is without father in his human nature, without mother in his divine. God and man in two distinct natures in one person forever. This is the new thing in the earth. And of course we have to add here that Christ, being the eternal Son of God, never began to be. As God, he existed from eternity. He is the everlasting Father, the Father of eternity. From everlasting to everlasting God, the one who made all things by the word of his power. But in the fullness of time, as you know, he was sent forth of his Father, and made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Nor was this holy humanity a new creation, in that the humanity was not derived from Mary. No, she was born. Christ was born of her substance. Yet he was born without sin. From the moment of his human existence, he was the holy and harmless one, separate from sinners, separate even from his sinful mother. The Holy Ghost coming upon her and begetting a holy humanity in her womb, of her substance. Oh, what a mystery is here. We will never be able to comprehend the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. It will always transcend our understanding. As one writer put it, what God has revealed, we are bound to do all in our power to understand. And when we cannot understand, we are to stop and adore. And this here is the object of our adoration. A new thing in the earth. A woman compassing a man. A man who had no human father. One who was holy and would never see corruption. And how wonderfully God confounded Satan in doing this, and how thoroughly God humbled the pride of Adam in bringing this about. You see, Adam blamed the woman for his sin. He said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the fruit of the tree, and I did eat." He blamed the woman, and he blamed the one who gave him the woman. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, ordains that the seed of the woman shall be the savior of the human race. A seed that will have no human father. And he confounds Satan as well. Satan thought he could ruin the whole human race by working through the woman. He went first to the woman, not to the men. And he deceived her. He beguiled her and got her to take first of the fruit of the tree. Satan thought he had the whole race of men forever in his cruel grasp. By getting the woman to partake of the forbidden fruit. But the Lord comes and ordains that it will be the seed of the woman, the weaker vessel. She will give birth to the Holy Child Jesus, who shall be called the Eternal Son of God. And many of the human race will be saved through not the seed of man, but through the seed of the woman. And how humbling this was, how humiliating, how utterly confounding this was to Satan. His head to be crushed by the seed of the woman, by one who had no human father. You probably remember the incident in Judges when Abimelech was fighting against a city. And he went near to the wall to try to beat down the wall or the door. And a woman stood on top of the wall and cast down a stone upon his head. And he called his armor bearer in haste and he said, "Slay me, so that it will not be known that a woman did slay Abimelech." It was humiliating for a woman to be slain by a man. But how much more comprehensive and how much more humiliating that Satan should be crushed by the seed of the woman, by this new thing in the earth. A woman compassing a man. Now let us notice lastly a few things about the man himself. He is no mere man. He is the man of God's right hand. A God over all, blessed forever. And as the glorious God-man, in possession of a holy humanity which will never see corruption, he declares from his throne, "Behold, I make all things new. I, who am the ever-living one, I, who ever has the dew of my youth, I, who am never weary, the God of all the earth, who fainteth not, neither is weary. I, who has a holy humanity, seated at the right hand of the Father, I make all things new. I was a new thing in the earth. The first holy infant. The first human never to see corruption. I was ever new, and therefore I will make all things new. How will he make all things new? He will make all things new by consenting to the death of the cross, by being obedient unto death, that through death he might deliver him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And through this glorious victory, he would procure everlasting life for all his people. A life like his own. A life of everlasting youth and vigor, as one theologian put it. Now, what was the condition of those to whom he gives this new everlasting life? Their condition, you know, was one of being dead in trespasses and in sins. And for them to be brought to life again, there must be a new heart put within them, as we were reading in the chapter. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. This is the beginning of a dead sinner being made new and becoming a new thing in the earth, coming into possession of a life that would never end by Christ coming unto him in the everlasting gospel and saying, "Behold, I make all things new. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else." And the moment you look, and the moment I look, it is the moment that we are made new. We are made a new creature in Christ Jesus. By this one who opened up a new and living way through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. You may feel far off from God today. You fear that you're praying with your lips only while your heart is far from God. And this is a grief to you. But oh, look unto Jesus. He's made a new and living way. And this way is nearer to you than the aisle running down this church. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. This way is brought near to you, within your reach. It's accessible by all here. And the moment that you're brought into this new and living way, you will be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the seeds of immortality will be planted within your soul. But that is what this new thing in the earth has done. Christ Jesus, he has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It's a new, what a precious thing is the new heart. It's a heart that can never be corrupted. Yes, a new heart put within a sinner will be accompanied with much corruption around it. But it itself cannot be defiled. It is an incorruptible seed. See, that's something that Adam never had. He never had an incorruptible principle of holiness. He was perfectly holy. And Satan at one point was perfectly holy. But their holiness, it could be defiled. But the life, the principle of life that Christ offers to you is a principle that can never be corrupted. It is an incorruptible seed, as the Apostle Peter describes it. And he's offering to give you this new heart that can never be corrupted. And I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And what are you to say? What are you to say when you hear this glorious offer? You should say with Mary, the mother of our Lord, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Yes, that is the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is preached to you. Everlasting life, spiritual blessings are offered freely to you. A new heart is offered to you. I will put my law in your inward parts, and I will write it in your heart. And what are you to say? "Be it unto me according to thy word." But you say, I need the Holy Spirit in order to consent. I have to be made willing in the day of God's power. And yes, that's true. You say, I can't consent by my own power. And that's true. You cannot serve the Lord, said Joshua to the children of Israel. Oh, what a humbling statement. You cannot serve the Lord. How that confounds the pride of man who thinks he still possesses some ability to reform himself and make himself fit for God. No, the Word of God says ye cannot serve the Lord. But here's the thing. Whenever the everlasting gospel is preached, a complete salvation is offered you. Not just Christ, but Christ who's full of the Holy Spirit, who can make you able and willing to believe, able and willing to put your consent to this gracious offer. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. We read a story recently about a man who went to get advice from his minister, and he said his problem was that he could not repent. His heart was too evil. And the minister looked at him and he said, "You can repent." He said, "No, my heart is too wicked. I cannot save myself. I cannot repent of myself." And the minister said, "No, you can repent and believe the gospel." He said, "The Lord's people around you are living evidences that sinners can repent and believe." But they didn't repent and believe in their own strength. They repented and believed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the power of the Holy Spirit is offered to you as well, so that you can say with the apostle, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I can repent, I can believe, I can consent to this gospel offer through Christ, who strengtheneth me. All the answers to your perplexities are in the Lord Jesus Christ. This new thing in the earth, who has promised to make all things new, who promises and who offers to make your soul new, and he offers to make your body new at the last day. giving you not only a new heart, but also an incorruptible and immortal body, a body strong enough to bear an exceeding and eternal weight of glory, a body strong enough to behold with open face the glory of the Lord. Behold, I make all things new. And here is the one who's ever renewing the souls of his people in the great work of sanctification. Yes, subduing their iniquities, strengthening the new man and weakening the old. Making that soul fit for the eternal habitation of his holiness. The one who makes the souls of this people perfect in holiness at their death. As one minister in Scotland long ago put it, at death there comes a wave of holiness over the believer as the body of sin is forever put away and he's immediately made perfect in holiness and immediately passes into glory, speaking poetically, of course, to describe the dramatic change that takes place at death when sin is finally eradicated from every faculty of the soul. A wave of holiness. Oh, what Christians have to look forward to. The world, it looks at old age with horror. It recoils at the prospect of aging, weakening, going into the grave, returning to dust. The world banishes these things from their minds. But the believer, oh, what he has to look forward to. A wave of holiness coming over him. Being made perfect in holiness by the great Alpha and Omega, who has promised to make all things new. Well, is this your Savior? He's willing to be your Savior. He's offering himself and all his benefits to you without money and without price. Wilt thou go with this man who will make all things new, who will renew your soul and renew your body? You love this new thing in the earth, who is encompassed by a woman who had no human father, and yet was the Ancient of Days. As one put it, here was the infinite, a span long. The Holy Child Jesus, laying in a manger. Here was the infinite, a span long. Mary could not comprehend it. She said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And what did the angel say? With God shall nothing be called impossible. The incarnation is proof that with God all things are possible. He can bring your soul out of darkness in a moment, this day. He can bring you out of your perplexity. He can do away with your burdens and sorrows. He can light your candle and make your darkness to be light. Now, in a moment. Saying, let there be light in your soul. Let it become new. That is why those who have taken Christ to be their Savior, in whatever condition they are in, can say, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I sit in darkness, when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. He is the Son of Righteousness, risen with healing in His wings, and making all things new. Oh, let none of us be apart from this blessed company, whose souls are being renewed, and whose bodies will be renewed at the last day. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. May God bless His word. Let us pray. The most holy and eternal One, open our eyes to behold the glory of the Alpha and the Omega, the One who makes all things new. May we see something of His glory and beauty in Thy Word, that we may be able to sing from the heart, Thou art fairer than the children of men. Thou art all my salvation and all my desire. Have the preeminence in my soul and in my life, and write Thy law in my inward parts, and put my laws into my mind. Oh, make an everlasting covenant with each one of us, in which Thou wilt not turn away from us to do us good, but wilt put Thy fear into our hearts, so that we will not depart from Thee. Take away our sins, the many sins of our worship, and help us to sing to Thy praise in conclusion. Pardon all our many sins, for Christ's sake. Amen.